Jeffrey O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
You were on the show yesterday, and you're not only like a lawyer extraordinaire, but you're a prognosticator extraordinaire. You not only called the Janus ruling, but you even brought up the possibility of Kennedy stepping down.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it is. It wasn't really I wasn't going out on a limb. You know, he said any indications that he would retire, and this is it's keeping with tradition. You typically retire when your party has the White House, and this was the safe time to do it before the midterm. So, you know, it wasn't a big stretch for me to guess that, but yeah, it was an interesting day in Supreme Court history yesterday.
How big of a deal will this pick ultimately be? When the news first came down, and we mentioned it earlier, you know, I was texting with Drew, and I was just, you know, confirming. I'm like, well, you know, Kennedy's conservative, you know, for the most part, is put in place by Reagan, what, some 35 years ago. So it's not like a Ruth Bader Ginsburg or a Stephen Breyer. And you get into the details of it, you do have the possibility of keeping the court locked up this way for a while. But how big of a deal is it in your opinion?
It's a huge deal. You know, if you look at, you know, Justice Kennedy has historically been the swing vote, especially in more recent years. And just before the break, touched on two of the issues of abortion and gay rights, where he did side with the liberal bloc in the court. But the other one that he sided with the liberal bloc, the other issue was affirmative action. So there have been times where on the conservative side, they thought they were going to have a change in policy on a variety of issues, and only to have Justice Kennedy vote with the liberal bloc. So I think what they're going to get in whoever the president picks off that list of 25 is going to be someone that's more reliably voting with the bloc of four conservative justices right now.
Anybody on that list that jumps out at you? I mean, how if you're President Trump, I ask you sort of a two-headed question here. If you're President Trump, what sort of philosophy are you looking for? But if you're just the, you know, Jeff O'Brien sort of observer of the Supreme Court, what would you like President Trump to, which direction would you like him to go?
Well, I think anybody on that list of 25 is going to be kind of the same vein, a strict constitutionalist, as we'll say, in the vein of a Justice Scalia or the late Justice Scalia or now Justice Gorsuch, who was on that list, and he picked them off that list. The other criteria, the big criteria, I think, so any of those, the remaining 24 would be similar in judicial philosophy. Where I think the president's going to look, where advisors are going to look at age. You've got, this is a chance to lock up the court for a long time. I think he tweeted out, or he said something at the rally in Fargo last night, that he's looking for someone under 50. So there's a few out there, Judge Barrett in the Seventh Circuit, former Notre Dame law professor. She could be a really good pick. Also, our own former Minnesota Supreme Court Justice David Strauss, who is already appointed to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, he may get a look as well. He's only 44, so I think we could see. I think he's going to look for somebody probably in their mid 40s off of that list, because you're going to have somebody on there. If you look at Justice Kennedy retiring here at 80, you're looking at someone that could be on there for 30 to 40 years.
Yeah, it says here in one of the articles, there was no, and you mentioned this earlier, there was no outward signs that Kennedy was getting ready to retire. He had hired his allotment of four law clerks for the term that begins in October, and he is planning to spend part of the summer, as he typically does, teaching at a law school in Austria. But several former law clerks have said that Kennedy, the nominee of Reagan, preferred to be replaced by a Republican, and if he had waited and Democrats had taken control of the Senate in November, Trump could have found it more difficult to get his choice confirmed. So, I mean, when you look at the ages of Ruth Bader Ginsburg being 85, Stephen Breyer 79, if somebody mentioned, we had a friend of the show emailed and talking about if Trump wins the second term, you know, does Ruth Bader Ginsburg try to wait until there's a Democrat, you know, in the White House before she ends up retiring? And if she doesn't, what does that mean?
No question, Ruth Bader Ginsburg will not retire so long as Donald Trump is president. So, you know, we're more likely she might pass away while he's in office, but she's not going to resign while he's president. And you know, she gets a lot of criticism from the left for not resigning at a time where the Democrats had the Senate and the White House.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, so you know, it was that was you know, there's two gambles coming out of the Supreme Court in this transition from President Obama to President Trump. Justice Ginsburg staying on, and Mitch McConnell not bringing Merrick Garland's confirmation to a vote. And one paid off, one didn't.
Regarding McConnell's decision with Garland, you know, you've got a lot of Democrats out there that are you know, saying it's an election year. You know, we can't confirm Supreme Court justice in an election year. First of all, it's not a presidential election year, so right. It's not like, you know, waiting right. is going to change the pick at all. But do you think that their efforts to sort of stonewall, drag their feet on this confirmation, getting it somehow getting it past the midterms, do you think that has a chance of being successful?
Absolutely not. Nope. No. You're right. You brought up the key distinction, Drew. The hold on Garland's confirmation hearings back in 2016 was based in something that was referred to as the Biden rule. When Joe Biden was chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he was the one in 1992 suggested that if a justice retired during that year, that President Bush should not appoint a replacement. They should wait until after the election. That was, you're right. It's talking about a presidential election. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the power to appoint somebody versus, or nominate somebody versus the ability of the Senate advising and consenting to the nominee. And, you know, I saw Chuck Schumer saying it. I saw our own Senator Tina Smith. They look like partisan hacks when they say that. It's a little bit like a temper tantrum. I mean, we have to give them some leeway yesterday between the Janus decision and, and Justice Kennedy retiring. I know you guys do that movie podcast. You know, this is a Star Wars analogy. This is like Episode 4 where Luke puts the shot down the thermal exhaust port and rolls up the Death Star. This was not a good day. This is probably the worst day for the political left, even worse than Donald Trump being elected president, to take away the union money and then to take away the Supreme Court.
Well, and I think the one thing to watch, Drew, you've mentioned it a few times, the two big sort of, lack of a better term, fear tactics that were going out in the wake of this announcement was, one, people concerned about the rolling back of gay rights, and then two, Roe versus Wade. I'm with Drew. I agree with you. I think the gay rights issue is settled. Nobody wants to go and tackle that. The Roe versus Wade one, I do think we need to keep an eye on from a standpoint of whether or not that does become an issue. When you look at some of the David Cole, National Legal Director of the American Civil Liberties Union, immediately came out yesterday and said, Donald Trump, who has promised to overturn Roe v. Wade, pick someone who's anti-choice, the future of Roe v. Wade is very much in question. I mean, arguably, you know, the liberals, one of their biggest victories ever in the Supreme Court. And I'm very, very curious to see if he goes with somebody who could possibly go that way, and whether or not Republicans decide that they want to go and pick that fight. That's an interesting, lengthy discussion about whether or not that's a worthy fight to go and take.
Yeah, I don't think, just knowing the makeup of the Roberts Court and the history of the Chief Justice trying to make this court as apolitical as possible, I don't know that this court would go there on a 5-4 majority. I think, let's see how, maybe if President Trump were to get reelected and you're replacing Justice Ginsburg, possibly Justice Breyer, and now you've got 7-2, maybe. I think there may be some working around the edges in terms of the issue, but I don't think, I mean, look, a Supreme Court overturning a long-standing case doesn't happen every day. That's what the Janus case is so significant about. It overturned a 41-year legal precedent. Those don't happen overnight. So it may be some slight changes. We saw the crisis pregnancy center decision this term. Actually, Justice Kennedy went along with the majority in that one. So I don't think this means that tomorrow they're going to bring up a case and overturn Roe v. Wade. No.
I mean, if you look at Chief Justice Roberts, and you can use that Obamacare decision as sort of a guide, he seems like he's more often than not going to defer to the legislative branch and say, look, you know, you guys have the power to pass laws, and only in a case where a law can be, you know, clearly demonstrated as unconstitutional for some matter are we going to intervene.
That's exactly right, Drew. You know, that's the thing, is a lot of conservatives beat up on Chief Justice Roberts, but, you know, his philosophy is consistent. He knows, he understands what the court's role is in this constitutional separation of powers, and he doesn't try to overstep and bring this court into areas where it's making law or policy. And so, conservatives complain about judicial activism. What he's doing is the opposite of judicial activism.
I agree. Go ahead.
One more quick one before we let you go, Jeff. Talking with Jeff O'Brien. What do you think is the bigger takeaway here? Is the bigger takeaway the possibility of Justice Kennedy's replacement and the future of decisions if this individual perhaps is more conservative? Or is the bigger takeaway the fact that based on the makeup of the court and the ages as we've been talking about, this will essentially lock up the court leaning more conservative for, say, like a generation to come?
I think both. You know, I know my favorite Supreme Court justice of all time is the late Chief Justice Warren Burger. He graduated from my alma mater. And he started this in being appointed in 1969 and holding the line against some very, there's a great book out called The Burger Court and the Rise of the Judicial Right. And he would vote with the majority, even when he disagreed with the liberal bloc in the 70s, to be able to assign the opinion to himself and rein it in. And he basically marked time through the 70s until we got to the Rehnquist Court and President Reagan appointing more conservative justices. So to give an example, this has been a movement that has taken 50 years to get to this point. So I think both of these things, the retirement of Justice Kennedy and the possibility of two more justices, liberal justices, being replaced in either the first term or the second term of the Trump administration, I think we're looking at possibly another 50-year shift in the court.
That's good news, Jeff. That's good news. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you again soon.